and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come to the conclusion of Matthew chapter 13 in these last two parables. We have covered five already. Today we talk about how the kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field. A man, having discovered it, went and bought that field in order to have the treasure for himself. And since our Lord did not interpret this parable for us, there are a variety of interpretive views that can be held. Keeping with the context of Mark chapter 13, which we call the integrity principle, it seems best to understand that the field would obviously be Israel. Israel is God's own treasured possession. Jesus came into the world to redeem Israel. And in his death, Jesus Christ sold all that he had in order to purchase the field, the land, and the people of the land. But also, the parable of the pearl, which is also not interpreted by the Lord. It's generally linked to the previous parable, the parable of the pearl of great price, I believe represents the church. That pearl of great price is the church, the bride of Jesus Christ. There's a couple of different reasons for this. Number one, pearls are uniquely formed. They are the formation occur because of an irritation on the underside and the tender side of the oyster. So there is a sense here in which the pearl is purchased or formed and made possible by the death and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so here in these two parables, you get the treasure of the earth, Israel, and then the treasure of the sea, those irksome Gentiles. The merchant sold everything he had in order to buy this highly valued pearl. Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, provides the redemption for those irritating Gentiles. Some see Israel and the church in these two parables. It's very Revelation, by the way. You have the church of the here and the church of the over there. You can liken this to Revelation when Satan tries to ape God, when Satan tries to imitate God, he tries to imitate it by sending one of his followers, the beast from the sea, the beast from the land, which is nothing more than enemies here and from over there. Enemies domestic and foreign. Here, Jesus is talking about his church here and over there. The church of the land and the church of the sea. The church of Israel and the church of the Gentiles. Which brings us to the net. The seventh parable, seven being the number of perfection, seven being the eschatological day of rest. The kingdom of heaven is like a net let down into the lake with a great catch of fish, and the fisherman pulled up the net and he sorted out the fish, collecting the good fish into his baskets, throwing the bad ones away. Good fish, bad fish, wheat, weeds, sheep, goats. This sorting is the work of the angels at the close of the age, at the resurrection of all flesh. Verse 49, at the close of the age, the angelic separation of the wicked from the righteous. Jesus asks his disciples, have you understood all that I've told you? And their answer is yes. And that answer of yes, I think, is a little surprising. And I wonder if it was a firm, absolutely, Jesus, we get every word. Or if they're thinking, you know, Jesus, it's lunchtime. I think I get it. That's good. Jesus would go 40 days and 40 nights without eating. But the disciples are like, can we eat? Yes means different things at different times. I ask my kids, have you cleaned your room? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, this month? And they're like, oh, no. I cleaned it 2 years ago. Are you planning on cleaning it anytime soon? Absolutely, Dad. Absolutely, I promise. I was like, are you going to involve your fiance in this cleaning at some point down the road? And they're like, yeah, probably. I'm amazed that they could not have known the full implication of these parables. In fact, Jesus, in subsequent questions and actions, proves that they don't really comprehend everything that he's saying. I know ministers that have been ministers for 20, 25 years, 30 years, and still get these parables wrong. Even I get them wrong every once in a while. It's hard to keep it all straight in your mind all the time, every day. Jesus performs the function of the owner of a house. And this owner of a house brings out his treasures, both new and old. There are 7 parables in Matthew chapter 13. I've said that for 3 weeks now. You have the sower, you have the parable of the weeds, you have the parable of the mustard seed, and the parable of the leaven. You have the 3 parables that we do today, the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, and the net. Presented are some of these truths that we are all aware of and we have always known, and you can't remember the time when you knew these truths. Hopefully, we've found new truths for you to remember today and through these last 3 weeks. Some are old, some are new. But he that is well-trained, he that is well-trained and well-prepared can see more and hear more. We know about the kingdom over which the Messiah rules and the Messiah reigns. We know that we are part of that kingdom, but that kingdom is not the United States of America. We know the kingdom includes righteousness. But we know that the kingdom also includes weeds. We know that we live amongst a wicked generation. We always have, by the way. We've always had Sadducees and Pharisees amongst us. We have always had the sad and the desperate and the angry and the wicked and the selfish. Woe is me, said Isaiah. When called into God's service in the temple, he says, I'm a man of unclean lips and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. There have been a lot of changes since the 7th century BC. That's just not one of them. And so Jesus subtly points us to this new truth of this new parable. It's interesting that all of my commentaries, every commentary I read, and these are written by people who are innumerably smarter than I am, they all point to this chapter and say there's 7 parables here, which I just listed just a moment ago. But here in verse 52, it sounds like we come up with an 8th parable, a bonus parable, an 8th day of creation. I read people here who are innumerably smarter than I am who also will think about this. Every scribe trained for the kingdom of heaven is like. In that parable language, the kingdom of heaven is like. Here in this eighth parable of Jesus. He gives us just this added little gift. Not only is Jesus teaching us about the kingdom, but he's really putting this down as to who we are. We are the treasures of God. Whether we're a treasure of the land or whether we're the treasure of the sea, but we're also scribes. We don't like the New Testament like call ourselves scribes because the scribes have got a really rotten track record in Jesus' ministry. But Jesus asks his disciples, do you understand what I'm teaching you? They say, absolutely. He says, great. You are scribes. Every scribe trained for the kingdom of heaven is like. We are scribes. We have been trained in the kingdom of heaven. This is what we're doing right now, is training to be in the kingdom of heaven. We are the eyes and the ears and the hands and the feet and the mouthpieces of God to this wicked and evil generation. And we have been trained, and we have been trained, and we have been trained, and we have been given incredible treasures. Treasures that are new and treasures that are old. And those treasures are given to us that we might set our tables. That we might invite people into our home, to invite them into our presence, and thereby invite them into the presence of the living God. Cyril of Alexandria notes in this text, he says, a scribe is one through continued study of the New and the Old Testament has laid up for himself a storehouse of knowledge. Origen notes that the householder is both free and rich. He is rich because he has the office of a trained scribe in the use of the Lord, but he has also been made a disciple of the kingdom of heaven through every word of the Old Testament and all the knowledge concerned in the New Testament concerning Christ. He has these treasures stored up in his own treasure house, where neither moth can consume, nor rust can destroy, nor thief can break in. Jesus ends his discourse as he begins it. First, the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price, both new and old at the very same time. And the old cannot be taken away. It is only hidden in storage. And the new is protected and guarded. So then, the well-trained disciple has acquired rich funds of all kinds of knowledge in which to pull from as needed to service the kingdom of heaven. He is both rich and free. Rich in teachings and free in Christ to be of service unto the kingdom of heaven. That is our role in this current age. To be rich in the Word of God, to be free to speak that word to a broken people who flee from him. In whatever our setting, and to whomever is willing to hear, until the coming time when the net is pulled up out of the water, and the fish are separated, one hand to the other. In Jesus' name, we ask him to be with us and guard us and guide us in this present age, to continue to enrich us with his word, to bless us with his presence. In God's name we pray.